This morning, I'm going to title the message, MVP, Most Valuable Player. I think it's important for us as a church to continue to be reminded of missions all the time. We are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. But today's message and next week's message is just simply titled MVP. I believe everybody, let me say this from the onset, everybody is the most valuable player. We need everybody doing their part. Amen? All right. Heavenly Father, we just pray today that as ambassadors of you, we would be able to do what you've called us to do and fulfill it how you desire us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. I find it interesting that at the Super Bowl, this MVP award is given out, and it's given to this prestigious award is given to one player. Now, historically, there have been a couple of times where it was actually shared. In fact, there was one time in history where it actually went to the team who lost, or a person on the team who lost. So there can be a valuable player, I guess, on the losing team as well. I thought every one of them are valuable players, or they would have never made it to the Super Bowl. I want us to realize the value of every person and the role that people play in the kingdom mission. Today, I want to use the MVP, but today I'm going to use the M and the P. Next week, I'm going to come back to the V, all right? M is going to stand for mission, and P is going to stand for power. Let me go to the mission. Church, we can never lose sight of the mission. I kind of was thinking about it as I was preparing this, and I thought, where did this word come from? We call it the great commission, but where did this word mission come from? So I went back to the etymology of it, and here it is. The etymology from modern Latin, mission or missio, is a group sent out by a religious organization. Its very roots are not about just a military mission, but it is about a group sent out by a religious organization. Derived from the earlier Latin missus, or past participle of, I don't know exactly how they pronounce that, but mitter or miter, to send, related to message. The mission was about sending a message or delivering a message for others to hear. Church, we have a mission to carry the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone we meet and to those we have not yet met. I got to thinking, what's the gospel? Well, I looked it up. What's the etymology of that? The gospel comes from Middle English. From Old English, it was Godspell, a translation of the Latin term evangelium, from God plus spell or the word tell. In other words, a God spell or a God tell literally is a God story, is what's being told. The good news is the God story of his love and his redemption. And everyone needs to hear that God loves them and that Jesus came, died on a cross for them and for their sins. He rose again, and that you need to put your faith in him as your Savior. And when you do, you have a hope of spending eternity with him in heaven. Jesus told his disciples in Mark 16:15 about the mission. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." In the book of Acts, Jesus once again speaks just before he ascends to heaven in these final words to us in Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus' words are very clear about the mission. We are to be witnesses at home and abroad because everyone needs to hear the gospel. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 10:12-15, some things about the mission. Here's what he teaches. "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one on whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who fulfill the mission of telling the good news. The mission, church, is really simple. Tell others the God story from God's word. A Redeemer has come. Jesus has paid for our sins. Jesus put it into one simple statement when he was talking to Nicodemus and recorded for us in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. It's pretty simple, isn't it? But why are we afraid to tell others the story? Why do we shrink back when we're challenged with what we believe? Why is the name of Jesus Christ so offensive in our world today? Do we really believe that the gospel has the power to save even the worst of sinners? Paul tells us in Romans 1:16, which I believe the church needs to step up to today, and this is the kind of walk we need to have, when he writes, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. M, mission. We do the mission because we have been commanded to, and we need to do it well. But how? I want to talk about the P. MVP, the mission we get, but church, the P stands for power. I have a question. Where is the power in the church today? I'm saddened when I hear of churches closing, and they are closing in every fellowship and every denomination faster than we're planning. Yeah, there's some larger churches today, but we have a problem in America, and I believe the church has lost its power. Is there power to really save, redeem, and restore and regenerate a life? I say there is. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives so we're able to fulfill the mission. I want to take you back to Acts 1. And I want to read verses 4 to 8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, speaking of Jesus, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I do understand that there are a lot of opinions in regards to the work of the Holy Spirit today. But church, in these last days, we cannot afford any longer to be divided over the issue of the Holy Spirit. The fastest growing parts of Christianity worldwide are the Pentecostals, who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we are Pentecostal. I want to give you a foundational fact. The church and the believer cannot do God's work without God's Spirit. It was a significant statement that Jesus is telling the disciples when he said, wait for the gift my Father promised. church, I believe that must have been important. And if the early church believers, those who had been with Jesus, those who had seen him do great and powerful miracles and things, if they needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit before beginning ministry, then surely we must need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to do the ministry today. If we desire to be effective in ministry, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to fulfill the mission. The Bible simply teaches that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for all believers. The baptism brings power to us so we can be witnesses to all the world. I want to walk us through a few points this morning to help us understand the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. First point is simply this. It was a promise. A promise. The promise is found in Acts 1, and we read about it in verse 4 and 5. You see, Jesus was about to physically leave the earth and return to heaven. He understood that his disciples had a need for God's Spirit to dwell within them. He would leave, but the Spirit of God would come and fill them. Because while he was here in bodily form, he could only be with some of them some of the time. But the Holy Spirit would come and he would be with all of them all the time. Actually, Jesus tells us it's to your advantage that I go away. And so Jesus did leave so the Spirit could come in fullness. Just how important is the Spirit to the church and the believer? I believe it's absolutely critical for us to do what we've been called to do. Church, we cannot live for God without the Holy Spirit's power and presence. I want you to notice his instructions to the disciples. Acts 1, the second part of 4 says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about." If you went back to John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, and there, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit and his role and what he's going to play as they were sitting there at the Last Supper. He's describing and helping them to understand who the Holy Spirit would be and what his role would be. Jesus was not about to send his disciples out to preach the gospel without the promised gift. It would be a benefit for them. Now, we know that this gift, though, is not their salvation. It wasn't the salvation experience. It was another gift that's subsequent to the work of the Spirit at salvation. You see, if you go back to John chapter 20, after Jesus had risen from the dead, this is what Jesus told the disciples in verse 22 of chapter 20 of John. And with that, he had talked to them, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus had already given them the Holy Spirit because the new covenant was in effect. One of the things you need to understand doctrinally, we believe when a believer accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit does take residence. He makes the Spirit that was within us that was dead, he brings that Spirit to life. And the Holy Spirit takes residence. But Jesus speaks to them about another event, a baptism of the Holy Spirit in the upper room that's going to happen in Acts chapter 2. It was not about conversion, it was about provision for their life. The provision of a gift of power, the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe the power of the Holy Spirit is able to come alongside the believer and equip them for God's service. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The moment, church, that we don't need the Holy Spirit is the moment we're on our mission and not his. Jesus does not want to send us out to evangelize the world without the Spirit's power. When he ministered during his earthly ministry, he did what he did by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It says he was in the womb. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how he was able to do the things. He said, "I only hear what the Father says." Why? Because the Spirit was revealing those things. Now, back to that conversation with the disciples in Acts 1. they struggled with their perception of what Jesus was talking about. And Jesus needed to work on their perception. They were more caught up on trying to figure out future events than realizing the importance of the mission they needed to do while he was away. Listen to it in Acts 1, 6 and 7. Then they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore your kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." Jesus is trying to get them to focus on the purpose of the Spirit's coming. And we too need to realize the importance of the Holy Spirit's empowerment for our lives today. I appreciate end times. Pastor Grant does an excellent job doing current events on Wednesday night and sharing what's happening in this day and how it ties into the Word of God. And when he was speaking about Revelation and those things, they're all good things. In fact, the Bible says, blessed are those who read that book. I'm telling you, read it. It's good for you. But church, while we are here, the mission is not about the future. It will happen. There are signs we can be aware of, all of that. But we have a mission to do while we are here. And we can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to all believers to enable them to be witnesses to all people in all the world. I trust that every one of us would desire to receive what God wants to give to every believer, the promise of His Spirit. Not only is it the promise, but my second point is simply power. Acts 1:8, hear the rest of it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Interestingly enough, Jesus shifts their attention from coming kingdom of heaven to the coming Spirit of the living God. They will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. You need to understand this was not an intellectual understanding that they would gain, but they would know something had happened to them because power is real. The word power comes from the Greek word dunamis, which is dynamite. If I was to explode dynamite in here, you would know it. When I was in the military, one of the war games we played, they used quarter stick dynamite that would go off in our war games. I'm like, isn't this a bit dangerous? But it made it, hopefully, a little more realistic. Church, there was something that went off in the early church, and it still could go off today. The power of the Holy Spirit wasn't being sent to give goosebumps. He wasn't given to make people feel superior to other Christians. Let me tell you, that is a huge flaw that has happened in the church today. And I'm telling you, as the Holy Spirit may fill us and use us, it has not made you more spiritual or more gracious in the eyes of God. You are just more surrendered to what He wants to do in your life. That's all it is, church. And I don't want you to ever think, well, Pastor, he's up there, he's doing, boy, he's perfect. I am not. How I long to be. But I'm just hungry for the righteousness and the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And church, that's what I want you to have. The Holy Spirit was given to them so they could have power, and that power was to be witnesses. The Holy Spirit has power to transform people into witnesses for Christ. Somehow we need to realize our power, our abilities are not enough. The work of evangelism does not depend on some clever program that we can come up with. It doesn't. All the events that we have that we may call evangelism, it's useless without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Too often people misunderstand the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They think, oh, it makes me feel good and it gives me this supernatural experience. But to empower, the Holy Spirit was given to empower us to be witnesses, to make us bold to do the mission. But church, it depends on obedience and upon patience. When I go back and I read what happened, what the disciples did, their obedience was to wait in Jerusalem And it was a preliminary step in receiving the Holy Spirit. Church, I wonder, have we waited on God long enough for Him to speak to us? Have we waited on God long enough for Him to fill us? Do you realize they waited 10 days? Continued in prayer. I'm sure they ate. I'm sure they did some of the other things that needed to be done, but they were waiting on the Lord and what the promise was. In our culture, the church culture that's happening in our world today, we struggle with how much time we can devote to God. Church, I'm telling you again, we need to learn to be obedient and patient. And we need to wait on the Holy Spirit. And that may take more time than you've ever given before. My third point is simply proclaiming. Acts 1:8 went on to say, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." The gift was given for more than a personal blessing. It was for proclamation. It was power with a purpose. Power to proclaim the Savior of the world to the world. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not about making us better than others, but His Spirit's work in us does make us better than ourselves. Do you understand that? Does it make me better than you? It helps me become better as I serve Christ. The Holy Spirit has been given us to enable us to be witnesses for Him in a way that we couldn't be without Him. Let me take you to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Holy Spirit, listen, did not just come upon the church. Note something. It was tongues of fire that separated and sat on each of them. Each one was personally filled by the Holy Spirit, and they were all filled. Boldness, power, courage all came to life that day as they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. These men and women became very different after being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The fire of God's Spirit took a group of fishermen and tax collectors and others. Some were hard, some were different, some were a bit unpredictable. And the Holy Spirit shaped them into His church. And it became a church of power. This group of 120 individuals in the upper room were now all unified for one purpose under one Lord by this one demonstration of the Spirit of God. For those in an upper room, there was little doubt that something had happened that day. The sound of a rushing mighty wind, tongues of fire that they visibly saw, speaking of other tongues that they literally heard. There's no doubt that something powerful had happened in their life. I know there's a lot of people that still wonder, well, why tongues? Why speak in an unknown language? James teaches us something very important about the tongue. In his letter, in James chapter 3, verse 6, he tells us that the tongue is the most unruly part of our body. Listen to verse 6. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Pretty potent scripture. That little thing inside your mouth produces a lot of power. It's probably hurt people. It's probably helped people. But if we're not careful, that little tongue can mislead us a long ways. If that's true, then what makes more sense than to have your tongue under the control of the Holy Spirit? The initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. I do believe there are ongoing evidences as well. You can read about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Wonderful fruits. I love them. There's other benefits of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul speaks about them to the Roman church in Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Sometimes our own language is too limited to express the Spirit's thoughts. We are now becoming more global than we ever have, church. And I think as Americans, we used to think English was superior, as a superior language to all the other world. Do you know that English is nothing more than grunts and groans that are added with dots and T's, and it's just syllables that we've created to mean something to us? That's all it is. When I use these words, you understand them because they've been taught to you. Every other language is nothing more than syllables and tones. They've been taught to learn what that means because of the syllables that are being said. Church, God is not restricted by any language or any structure of any language. In fact, did you know there are tongues of men and there are tongues of angels? And people, when they do speak in tongues, you're like, what are they saying? It really doesn't matter, because that's the Holy Spirit speaking the things of God, and whether we get it or not. There are times we have interpretations of those in a corporate setting. But church, I think we've gotten maybe afraid because we don't understand it. But God's the one way back in the Old Testament who created the languages at the Tower of Babel. And all of that happened. He confused their languages. Church, today, we need to understand it's about our hearts, not the words. And so when he came and he filled that church that day, he used it in a powerful way, because they began to proclaim the things of God. And others who knew that language began to hear it and knew what they were saying. I want to note something today that I think is important, though. As they were filled with the Holy Spirit, a change transpired within those on that day of Pentecost. Peter was completely changed by this occasion. Where only days earlier, Peter had been hiding from the Jews in fear of his life. And now he stands up full of the Holy Spirit and proclaims boldly Jesus' death and resurrection. He begins to tell people, you need to repent and you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Why? Because he was filled with the power to proclaim. Church, this wasn't the same old Peter. He now has power and he has a purpose, and he preaches with results. God added 3,000 people to the church that day. Church, we need the power of the Holy Spirit again. I want to believe that God will continue to add to his church those who are being saved. We need the Holy Spirit as much as they needed it back in the first century. Too many Christians see the baptism, though, of the Holy Spirit as an option. That's an option. I might get it, I might not. Do you understand that nowhere in the book of Acts or in the early church did it seem that way? Jesus, on the day of Pentecost, told them to wait for the promise, and they were all filled on the day of Pentecost. At Cornelius' house, in chapter 10 of Acts, it tells us they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues, and this was 9 years after Pentecost. In Acts 19, the church at Ephesus, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues, and that was 21 years after the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit continues to baptize people today and will continue to do so until he comes again. Why? Because it was a promise. And it was power to the believer to be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, to do the mission. This morning, I don't know where you stand in regards to your faith. But this morning, I want to start because I want you all to be believers. See, Jesus died on the cross for us and rose again. And those who put their faith in him and confess him as Lord and believe in your heart, you're saved. This morning, there was a gentleman in first service who gave his heart to the Lord. This morning, it may need to be you. You see, the Holy Spirit, when you receive him, he will take residence in your life. That's powerful. It's great. Because what was dead in you is about to come alive. And this morning, I don't want anyone to leave without the opportunity of inviting Jesus to be Lord of your life. So this morning, without your heads bowed, just looking, because I want us to be unashamed of the gospel. You see, if you make that decision today, it's because you make the decision to serve him. These two right here that were baptized made their proclamation. Even though long ago they may have accepted Jesus, today they publicly proclaimed it to you so you can know that they have accepted Jesus. Today, maybe you need to accept Jesus. If it's you, whether balcony or main floor, would you just slip up your hand right now and say, I need Jesus to be Lord of my life, and I'm going to accept him as Lord. Is there anyone? I know you're going, wow, right there. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? I don't want to rush. We can be patient. Whether it's one, I talked about the prodigal son earlier, and you need to know, he came home, and they threw a party. In fact, the Bible tells us that when one gives their heart, when one comes home, all of heaven rejoices. There's about to be a party in heaven. But I want all of us to pray together. And I want you to pray a prayer of faith with me. Repeat it after me, but we're going to pray in faith today. Because he is about to save your life. And you're about to have eternity with him. Would you say, Heavenly Father, I believe by faith that Jesus died for me. And he rose again. And I confess with my mouth Jesus as Lord of my life. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins and make me clean. Make me alive today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And the Holy Spirit comes in. And he'll work on our lives. He makes the word alive to us and works in our hearts. But church, on the day of Pentecost, they were baptized, not just saved. And there was a power that came upon the church that day. And he wants to do that. Just a word that says, nothing is impossible for God. You will receive power from God when you live by faith and pray in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you when you are doing the Lord's work. So trust God and live by faith. Church, maybe you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but maybe you need a freshness. Maybe you've let it linger. I was saved at 8 years old, but it was at 14 I was filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't in a church for me, it was at home. My middle brother happened to come over, and we were in the living room, and I forget what it was, but it was just something we needed to pray about, and our family prayed. So we got down, and I knelt by the couch, and I was just praying, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, in that moment, even though for many times in church, I'm like, Lord, fill me, use me. Lord, I'm here, I love you. And he never filled me there, but immediately that day as I began to pray, he filled me and I began to speak in a new language. I don't know if anybody's ever understood that language. This morning as I got in my car and I'm coming here, I was just going to begin to pray, but all of a sudden out of my mouth just begins to flow words that I don't know. I live my life in such a way that I want the work of the Holy Spirit. I know people go, well, that's weird. Then I'm weird. But I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, there's nothing, I don't know, weird is the right word. It's just God at work. And I'm just surrendering. I cannot make your tongue move. In fact, the Holy Spirit will not make your tongue move. There is a release that just happens. And maybe the syllables come. Maybe it'll be today. Maybe it'll be another day. I don't know. But it's promised. And I know it'll give you power. And what we're going to do here for the next few minutes, and that's why I wanted to end a little early for my part, because it's 11:48. It's not noon yet. But church, are we willing to be patient and wait on the Lord? Do we really believe there's a promise for the church? Do we really believe by faith that He can fill us and give us power and make you bolder than you've ever been? I used an illustration with some youth the other day, and I used it in first service, and I'm going to use it again. I'll use now. You won't be shocked by it. But church, I'm wondering, are we bold enough in what we believe? Or do we just have a head faith? Or do we have a solid faith of how we're going to live? Pastor Matt, what would it take for you to turn away from the Lord? Nothing. Nothing. You're going to serve Him the rest of your days, no matter what. Every circumstance that comes your way. They put a gun to your head. What's your decision? You're going to serve Jesus. But let me take it one step further. What if they don't put a gun to your head, Pastor Matt? What if they put it to your wife's head? And they ask you, are you going to serve Jesus? Because if you say so, she loses her life. You see, the enemy is so clever that you need to understand that most of us will go, I'm here, I'm bold, I'm not going to give up on Jesus. That's good. But I'm asking, how far is your faith? When you're challenged, and they may hold my children one day. Church, we are coming to a day where the name of Jesus is so offensive. You need to understand what we believe happened on that cross. Let me give a clue to you for a moment. This little country called Israel, they're nothing. So why are they in the news so much? Because they play an important role in the plan of God. Why in the world, if everybody's so tolerant in our society, why can't we pray in school? Why can't I boldly proclaim Jesus? In church, we backed off. No longer. We're going to be a church of power. Amen. And no matter what they say, no matter what they do, we're going to stand. But you need that power. You need more than a head knowledge and a heart belief. I'm telling you, you need power today. And we're just going to worship because I can't fill you. God fills you. All you need to do is worship. This altar is available. I'm telling you, sometimes getting out of your comfort zone and just lifting your hands and worshiping puts you in a position that says, I'm ready to receive. I know a lot of people go, well, God, I'm here. If you want to fill me, go ahead. I'm telling you, you need to hunger and thirst. They waited. They waited. Why? Because it was promised. And they wanted what was promised. And church, I want you to be filled. I don't want to be a church that denies the power that it has. Are you hungry? You can kneel where you are. You can worship where you are. But I just want us to ask the Holy Spirit to come. I'm not going to close today. This is my moment. You can leave when you want. This is a non-judgment zone, so if you need to leave, we understand. But maybe God will fill you at home today if you just get on your knees and begin to worship. Maybe He can fill you right now. The church, I don't want to be Pentecostal to be Pentecostal. I want to be filled with the Spirit so I can have power to fulfill the mission that we've been called to do. Heavenly Father, as we begin to worship You, would You come and fill Your church with power in Jesus' name.